Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve in the media and internet ministry through my local church. I'm thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
Have you noticed that times are changing? Well, believe it or not, the Bible has a lot to say about changing times. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we have an all-new series entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to discover what the Bible has to say about what's happening in our world today. Stay with us. When it comes to predicting the future, the Bible is 100% accurate. Friend, let that sink in for a moment. 100% accurate. It's never been wrong. It never will be wrong because it's the Word of God. And when it comes to today's headlines and the economic and political unfoldings of our day, the Bible is 100% accurate as to the meaning and the direction of these events. It's amazing that God, thousands of years ago, gave us an unfolding description of what's happening before our very eyes on the world scene. Times are changing. That's the topic of this series. It's an all-new series preached recently at Lancaster Baptist Church with Dr. Paul Chappell. Pastor Chappell is the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And this program comes to you every Monday through Friday on this station. And we look forward to this series, Times Are Changing. If you'd like to subscribe to the daily podcast, you can take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. All of this and much more when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today, we open our Bibles to Revelation 17 and we study the one world religion that God says is on the rise even today. Here's Paul Chappell.
Well, since the time of Jesus Christ, there have been those who have followed Him in very simple faith. Jesus stepped out onto the shores of Galilee, and He began to call His disciples unto Him. And one by one, they became followers of Jesus. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, the Bible says, "And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Those believers in Antioch had their lives so radically transformed that people called them the Christ-like ones. By the way, how many of you would love it if your life was so reflective of God's presence that people just automatically said, "He must be a Christian"? Wouldn't that be a good thing? And that's how it was in Antioch. And since that time, people have been known as Christians from the early portion of the first century as Jesus called out His disciples. There have been, however, those since the first century who have attempted to pervert the gospel of Christ. They have attempted to blend in the gospel of Christ with other false religious systems. And this is why Jude wrote in Jude in verse number 3, and he said to those early Christians, "I want to challenge you to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, because there are men," he said, "crept in. They have crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness," or turning God's grace into a wicked lifestyle, and a false system of belief. And so there has been truth since the day of Christ. There has been the fighting against that truth. And this morning we come to the last book of the Bible, John's Revelation. And as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he gives us a glimpse into the future. And as we saw last week, the future holds a one-world government that is coming under a one-world ruler, Revelation 13. We're going to see this morning what the Bible refers to as the final one-world false or apostate church. And that is now beginning to gain some momentum, as are the global issues that we discussed last week in the morning message. The Bible tells us that there will be a perversion of the truth as we enter into the last days, and a false church will arise. And here in Revelation chapter 17, we see that this church is referred to with some pretty strong language, because she is going to compromise. She is going to simply sell her way into having greater and greater influence in the world. And ultimately, she will give herself over to the Antichrist. This religious power is referred to in the Bible as an harlot or as an whore. Pretty strong language for anybody's church. And yet that's exactly what God refers to as he speaks about the kind of church and the compromise of this particular church. He refers to it in verse 5 as Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now this will be a very, very powerful, powerful church. And we're going to see this morning as we study this text that when we come to the word the woman, we're going to be looking at the false church. When we come to the word the beast, we're going to be seeing the false government. And this text actually pictures in the time to come, leading into that 7-year tribulation, that that false church will literally ride the false government for a season of power. And so let's get into our message this morning. Notice, if you would, the identification of the false church. How do we know what this text is really talking about? And some of you might sit here and go, now, wait a minute. Are you going to say this morning that a whole bunch of faiths are going to get together and so compromise and so pollute themselves that they become one big false faith, and that all the world is going to push for this unified kind of a faith? I mean, do you really think that people who believe in Jesus and people who believe in Muhammad and people who believe in Buddha are really going to get together? Well, you know what I have found in nearly 27 years of preaching the gospel? I have found really that most people of most religions don't really know what they believe concerning the tenets of their faith. It reminds me of a teacher who called her children together and she said, boys and girls, tomorrow we're going to have show and tell in our school. And I want all of you to come and tell a little something about your religion. Well, they got excited about that. This was many years ago, before political correctness and all these things and the ACLU. And she said, we're going to have you come together and we're going to have you come in here and just give us a little testimony about your religion. And so the kids got excited, and the first boy, he stood up and he said, my name is Benjamin, and this is the Star of David, and I am Jewish. And everybody was interested in the Star of David, and they thought that was interesting. And the next student came up and she said, my name is Mary, and I am a Roman Catholic, and this is a crucifix. And people were interested in that. Next little guy came up, he said, my name is Johnny, and I am a Baptist, and this is a casserole. Now, that's about what most Baptists know about their church. You know, nice people, good food, stuff like that. And so I'm just simply telling you that it is not inconceivable that a lot of people will change tags and jump in to whatever is most popular in the end. Notice the identification of this church. First, we see that this church is a corrupt church. She is corrupt in her relations. The Bible says in these passages, verse 1, she sitteth upon many waters, the kings of the earth, she has committed fornication with them. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, here we see a philosophy in this church that replaces Christ. We see the term harlot is a metaphor for the false religion, the spiritual defection, the religious apostasy that's taking place with this religious system. And by the way, this type of strong language is not unusual in the Bible. Back in the days of Isaiah, when he was prophesying to Israel, he said in Isaiah 1 and 21, "How is the faithful city," speaking of Jerusalem, "become an harlot?" And so in the Bible, whenever God's people would intermix with idolatry and false teaching, God spoke of that in a very harsh kind of a way. Notice, secondly, in her reach, we understand of the corruptness of this church, for it says that she sitteth upon many waters. So this church will be international. It will be known on every continent. Geographically, politically, she will be well connected. We'll see that more in just a moment. Ecumenically, she will be a composite of all the religions. She'll commit spiritual fornication. She will compromise along the way. And the watchword of this church will be tolerance and unity. Let's put down the dogma. Let's just get together. Hey, all roads lead to God, right? That will be the message of this latter days church. One author said that it is a combination of apostate Protestantism, Romanism, and atheism. It is the huge ecumenical church of the last days, and it is being heralded as a step forward in, toward unity and world peace. That was written in 1977. John Phillips said, for as Mystery Babylon emerges in her final form, she will embrace all of Christendom and all other religions of the world as well. And so here we see a great religious system in size, but it is corrupt because it has compromised every which way in order to gather together the crowd. Notice it is corrupt. Notice, secondly, it is compromising. The Bible says in verse 3, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns." Here we see the false church riding atop the false government. The woman, the false church, riding this beast. Now, the woman aligns herself with the 10 political powers that will be in place during this time of the tribulation. She aligns herself in the place of the seven hills and with the 10 kings who are ruling. Now, we do not know exactly, as we sit here today, how this world one day will be divided into those 10 powers. Back in 1999, there were 11 countries in the European Union, and some thought those 11 would become 10, and that would explain it. The fact of the matter is, those 11 have now become 27, and the European Union, that revived Roman Empire of old, is gaining in power. They're gaining in tremendous economic power. Every single week, the euro is stronger than the dollar. And this false church will identify with whatever the form of false government is in that day. I was really interested a few years ago, and maybe there's not a whole lot to it, but I just thought it was interesting in light of Revelation 17, when they introduced the euro, they have a two euro that came out, and this was published and printed in Greece, and you'll notice the symbol of the two euro, the woman riding the beast. And I thought, my, is that not a prophetic thought in and of itself? But you see, in a tremendous effort, the Antichrist will encourage this false church to come together. And the false church will ride his government. Secondly, the false church will be an intoxicating force in the world. The world is going to be mesmerized with this. The Bible speaks of it. In Revelation 13, the Bible says, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." The Antichrist and the false prophet will be encouraging worship of themselves, even as this church is known. Notice in verse 4 of our text, it says, "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication." Time does not permit us to study all of the scarlet color and all of the wealth of this church and try to identify it from that verse, but I want you to see she has a cup in her hand, and this is an intoxicating beverage, and a lot of people are going to be excited about the gathering of spiritual light and the coming together of all the faiths. A lot of people are going to think this is the greatest thing that has happened in a long time. The identification of a false church: it is corrupt, it is compromising, it is bringing together all of the false faiths of the world. And notice secondly, if you're with me this morning, the integration of this false church. The integration of the false church. Now, sometimes we speak about integration. We're talking about bringing people of all cultures and races together. And that's a wonderful thing. And it ought to be that every church welcomes everybody to the church. But when we use this word integration this morning, we're not talking about the matter of bringing people together. We're talking about integrating all faiths together. And simply stated, you cannot do that without compromising what the Bible speaks of as truth. And so the integration of this false church. First of all, there will be an integration of idolatry. This church will be an idolatrous one world church. And they trace the origin of this church back to a place called Babylon. Archaeologists tell us that Babylon is the cradle of civilization. And some of you have studied and heard about Babel or the Tower of Babel. Nearly 1/8 of the book of the Revelation speaks about Babylon. The name Babylon comes from the root Babel, which simply means to revolt or to stand against. Dr. Harry Ironside said that the founder of Babel, and we learn this in Genesis 10, is a man by the name of Nimrod. He was the arch apostate of the patriarchal age. And so get this thought in your mind very quickly. The world will end religiously like the world began religiously. That's what Revelation is telling us. And this Babylonian concept will rise up once again. Nimrod in the Bible was spoken of as a rebel against God. He was 1,100 years before Ramses II in Egypt. He had the great desire to build his own religion and do it his own way. And some of you remember how he tried to do that. He tried to do it with something called the Tower of what? Babel. The Tower of Babel was man's first attempt at a one world religion. And he said, let's get everybody together and let's build a tower up to heaven so that we can be like God ourselves. You'll see that in Genesis 11:3. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, and that they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Tower of Babel, or Babylon, is what is referenced here in the book of the Revelation. We find it in Genesis, we find it in Revelation. The false religion has her origins in Babylon. Secondly, the Bible says that she will be integrated and filled with abomination. And I want you to notice this word abomination in verse 5. It says, mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Abomination is a reference commonly for idolatry. So there will be idolatry in this church. There will be idols other than obviously worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the ultimate goal of the Antichrist is that this false church as a whole, that the globe, will worship him. And that will be the case. In fact, notice there in your notes, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, speaking of the coming of the Lord, shall not come except there come a falling away first. That word is apostasy, a falling away. People will turn from the truth in mass. And there will be the falling away, and that man of sin will be revealed, speaking of the Antichrist, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And the whole world will worship this man, and the whole world will come together as the false church leads them toward him. So it's from Babylon, filled with abomination. Notice a third characteristic of this church infilled with idolatry. That is that this church is flowing with the blood of the saints. Now again, we're identifying this church. Notice if you would in verse 6 what the Bible says. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And so as we understand this church and we see it's an integrated group of many different faiths, and we're trying to see what are the predominant what are the predominant leaders and groups that will come together. One of the clues we find in verse 6 is that this church is drunken with the blood of the saints. Now, when you think about religion, unfortunately, there has been much bloodshed in the name of religion throughout the centuries. And we don't have time to go through a big history lesson. Some of you might remember something called the time of the Inquisitions. And maybe you've heard about that time during the Inquisitions when the Roman Catholic Church went under Innocent III, and they went in from especially southern France and northern Italy and on through Europe, and they were trying to put down this period of the Reformation. And the long story short, just during that particular period of time, there were 900,000 lives taken during the Inquisition. Men and women who were hanged, who were burned, who were thrown into the rivers, men and women who were killed with the sword. We've seen in recent days buildings bombed. We've heard of people murdered in Indonesia. We've heard of much bloodshed in recent days in the name of religion. Some of the dominant forces in the false church will come from a heritage of bloodshed. And yes, during the tribulation, they will support the persecution of the saints who refuse the mark of the beast and who will not follow the Antichrist. And so this false church will have an integration of idolatry. Secondly, they will have an integration politically. This church, as we saw a moment ago, the Bible says in verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Now, the desire will be for a one-world, state-sponsored church. And we read in Revelation 17:2 that the kings of the earth are intermixed with this particular religious body. Now, that's hard for us to understand completely right now. But let me just simply say that as we consider this idea of state and church, right now as I stand here this morning, there is one church that has embassies in nearly every single major country in the world. Did you know that the United States of America has right now an ambassador to a church? Maybe you did not know that. But our country has an ambassador that is sent right now to one of the largest churches in the world. And that ambassador works every day of his life in the Vatican. And he is there representing our government. And so there is an illustration of a state having an ambassador to a church and the beginning of an intermingling, if you will. And so there's an integration in the matter of idolatry. There's an integration in the matter of politically. Notice thirdly, and this is probably the most interesting, there will be an integration theologically. This last day's church is going to say, hey, let's just get all the faiths together. You know, we all believe in God. Let's just get together. And it makes sense right at first. In fact, notice verse 4. It says, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. The fornication spoken of here, as we saw back in the book of Genesis, is the compromise of bringing false faiths together. Now, the false religion will say something like this. Look, no one religion can save. Let's just get all the religions together. Today we would refer to that as a secular mindset or a pluralist mindset. Many people have that mindset. Many people, without really thinking about it, have just adapted that idea that, hey, all roads must lead to the same place.
Well, you've been listening to Pastor Paul Chapel, and he's been teaching and preaching in a series entitled Times Are Changing. We're discovering how accurate Bible prophecy is when looking at today's news headlines, and we're understanding what God has to say about the unfolding of the end of the age. If you'd like to hear this message in its entirety or any of the recent broadcasts, if you'd like to get this entire series, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Online, you can listen to recent broadcasts. You can also subscribe to the Daily Podcast and download Daily in the Word to your own computer or iPod and take it with you and listen or re-listen to these messages at your own convenience. Would you consider referring a friend to dailyintheword.org? You probably know somebody that doesn't live in an area where this program is broadcast. They might benefit from the Bible teaching and preaching. And when you direct them to dailyintheword.org, they can listen to the program and download it to go. And hopefully the teaching of God's Word will encourage and edify those you love. We sure enjoy hearing from you as a listener, knowing that Daily in the Word is touching your life on a daily basis. This month, our gift to you when you call or write to us is the mini book, Done, What Most Religions Don't Tell You About the Bible. This book, Done, is a paperback 112-page presentation of the gospel. It will do two things. It will help you as a Christian understand how to better share your faith, but more importantly, it would be a great resource to pass along to someone that you're hoping will come to Christ. If you know someone, a relative, a coworker, a neighbor, who hasn't come to Christ and you've tried to share the gospel with them, this is a great way to pass the gospel along to them and encourage them to read this book. We receive emails every week of people all across the country that have trusted Christ as a result of Done, What Most Religions Don't Tell You About the Bible. This is our gift to you this month when you call or write to us at Daily in the Word. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. And finally, you can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Be sure to visit us at dailyintheword.org. And until next time, have a great day.